Hello, hello, golf show with one very happy golf guy. I'm here too. It's Brent Gunning and Sam McKee giving you a little Father's Day U.S. Open recap. Sammy, how are you feeling on this wonderful Monday morning?
I'm feeling very good, Gunner. I enjoyed the golf yesterday. I enjoyed a day of spending time with my father-in-law, watching some golf, eating some food, a couple beers, enjoying Bryson's coronation at Pinehurst number two. It's a wonderful Father's Day for a man who has no children. So it was very good. Very good. So how was your Father's Day, Gunner?
Quick shout out, not to Bryson, but to my wife. She took my kid out of my hair for 4 hours, and then she came back, and guess what? They were still playing golf, so she took them out again to get them out of my hair so I could watch. Wow. I coach a little ball hockey in the morning, so, you know, I fathered on Father's Day, but if you're asking me how it went, would not have been nearly as enjoyable without my wonderful wife. So
how nice
on
is that?
Father's Day, shout out to her. So yes, awesome. Love, and you know, always love Father's Day. It is now one of my favorites. Seeing pictures of like buds I grew up with and their dads, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what they looked like. It's the best. It's the best. But we're not doing a Father's Day pod. We will talk about your man. I am gonna let you choose. Do you want which of your two favorite things in the world that happened yesterday do you want to talk about? Rory choking or Bryson winning?
I don't know. I think we'll start with Bryson winning. I'm really, really happy for the guy because, you know, I think there's a lot of people today and a lot of people that I've seen throughout the last 24 hours being like, oh, you know what? I always was okay with Bryson. I was always all right with Bryson, who I just simply don't believe. And there was this guy took an absolute beating, and rightfully so, a lot of times through over the last, I would say, 5 or so years, basically since, you know, when was the bravado? 2020, 2019, that era?
Yeah.
Was it when, like that, when he was a gambling betting favorite on Augusta on, basically, that he was an outspoken guy. He was saying all the wrong things. He had the beef with Brooks Koepka where, you know, he handled it wrong. The Brooksy things at him at golf tournaments where people were chanting that stuff at him. And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't handling it well. Let's just say that. I think from that sort of point, until Liv, he was a really not well-liked guy. And I think, like I said, for a lot of reasons, rightfully so. But I think, I mean, not many of these guys that have gone to Liv have had it work out for them. Like, you know, you think of what's happened with Rom since he went away. You think of what happened with, you know, Cam Smith's kind of gone into irrelevancy. You look at all these other guys that have gone over there and it just hasn't gone well for them. I guess you can say Brooks won a major, but he's kind of gone into irrelevancy as well over the past year. Seems to have elevated Bryson in a way where, a point that you've made multiple times, he's not in the public eye 24/7 anymore. And he kind of pops up at these events and he's on YouTube, he's on TikTok, and you kind of get to consume him in a different way. And it's worked out perfectly for him. And he's played wonderful championship, sort of major championship golf this year. And it's just been an amazing year for him. And I'm absolutely thrilled as a fan of him since he started. I have the one length irons. It's been an odyssey with him going through all this different stuff as a fan and having to defend him. And I feel like it's finally happened and I don't have to defend him anymore. And, you know, we both talked about how the US Open was the first one was an asterisk, which, you know, because I say all sports are asterisks at that time. So it's nice for him to get a real US Open. I'm just thrilled, man. I'm feeling very happy today.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm as happy, but I can be happy for the guy. This is a player who, in a sport where it's not a team sport, the only thing that matters is your results. And generally speaking, at the very least, the results come with the respect of your peers. And it felt like even when he was getting the results, that wasn't coming. Mm-hmm. This is clearly a guy who is just wanted to be liked. Like, I mean, just listen to him talk. He's clearly a bit of a weirdo. Like, he's a different guy. You don't play the way and attack the game in the way he does because you're not a little different. And I can just only imagine for somebody like that to have the outpouring of love, appreciation, support, USA chance, whatever form it was taking shape in. I can only imagine how freeing and fulfilling that is to a guy like Bryson. So, hey, my mileage very much may vary on it, but I don't think that part can be overstated.
I don't know. This is a verbal meme here, and I don't even know what the meme is from. So this is going to be excellent, excellent podcasting here. But when's the superhero guy who's like got a big smile on his face because he's surprised that everybody's cheering for him? I don't know what that meme is from.
I think this is The Boys, but even I don't go down to this nerdiness.
I've never seen The Boys, but I've seen that meme where he's like surprised that people are cheering for him. I feel like that's the place we've entered in with him. And like, I really do think all the YouTube stuff has made a huge difference with young people. Like, you see the people that are in the crowd at Pinehurst, it's young guys who love golf, who are on YouTube. They watch the good stuff. They watch the stuff with Grant Horvat, is it? You know, they see the stuff with Paige. They see all the stuff that this guy does. Like, I watched a thing on YouTube the other day of Grant Horvat making him play against him using hickories. Like, it's just like, he does this stupid, funny stuff that kind of relates to people and makes them more human. And it's worked. And like, besides that, he's excellent at golf. And I know you don't get, you know, the world rankings and whatever, how that works with the live stuff. I'm not going to pretend to know it, but in my personal world rankings, this guy is a top five guy. No question. Probably in the top three. Now, if you had to go into any golf tournament, he would be one of the favorites at the moment. And it didn't start that way this year. He's played his way into that, and that up and down on 18. It's all time. It's truly an all-time bunker shot. Hits it to 4 feet. Nice uphill putt. Knocks it in. Does the celebration. But, you know, he played some stones golf. He didn't have his driver working at all yesterday. Obviously, we're going to get to the other reason that he won. But I thought he played solid enough golf to keep himself in contention. And the par on 18 was the cherry on the sundae for him to finish off an incredible week at Pinehurst.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to, and I want to talk about the actual golf he played, because it was remarkable, driver aside, which is in and of itself maybe the most remarkable thing about all this. But, you know, it's funny, I bit my tongue a little telling these stories on radio this morning, but I'll tell them here on podcast form. He's going back and forth at the gallery on the drivable or, you know, semi-drivable par four.
Yeah.
And he's got his hand over the head cover and he looks at it. And then he says to the crowd, "Oh, I'm not going to go for it. Please don't boo me." And a guy yells back clear as day at him, "When in doubt, whip it out." And everyone just starts dying of laughter. And how can you not? That is hilarious. And it's like, of course, the guy yelling that at a golf tournament loves Bryson. Like, of course, I don't think he had to work too hard selling that guy, but
the stuff that people are yelling is getting a little bit more raunchy as every tournament goes on. I personally love it. It gives me, I laugh my ass off every time, but I'm sure there's a few guys sitting at home watching and be like, oh, come on. But no,
my heavens, my poor sensibilities. How could you? But I loved that part of it. Again, I do, like, you know, I've said this a million times, I don't need to belabor the point here. I do look at it a little as, like, it's great to do that when you're front running. The hard thing is to, like, be someone in the thick of it when you're not. But good for him. Like, he got himself out of the thick of it. He, like, this is, you mentioned the Brooksy stuff. Like, that feels, 10,000 years ago now? Yeah. It could not feel farther apart. And honestly, just a world where and hearing people who were on the ground, it seemed like the vocal crowd was behind Bryson, but it was very much at the start of the day, a split, you know, there was a silent majority for Rory, if you will. And then by the end of the day, not even close, man. I don't know if it's the America of it all. Yeah. I don't know if it's just the personality, but I mean, that crowd was 1,000,000,000% behind him. And again, I don't have to like it, but I do have to appreciate it. He was incredible.
And to me, like, I saw some people pushing back against the USA stuff. And it's like, yeah, it's literally the US Open.
Like, yeah, you don't have to like it, but you're going to allow it.
I mean, I was just at the RBC Canadian Open where Canada broke out every 15 minutes. So I think they're allowed to chant USA without getting too down on them. And yeah, I think they should want an American to win their national open. That's what they all want. It happens all the time, clearly, because they're the best golfing nation. There's multiple tournaments where it's different parts of the world against them. That's them, but you still want an American guy to win, and I'm sure the crowd would have been thrilled if Rory had a one, don't get me wrong, But yeah, I think it was really, really nice for Bryson to be able to do that. And his history with Payne Stewart and the hat and all this stuff, like, it just felt kind of perfect for him to win this one. And yeah, he's heading back to the LIV Tour, and away he goes. And we'll see him again in 25 days. Is that at Troon this year?
Yeah, Royal Troon, the postage stamp.
I don't know if I'd be betting on him to win that one, but we'll see how it goes heading there in 25 days.
Okay, I'm not going to say I'm going to bet on him, but like, let's talk about his actual play for 2 seconds before we get to Rory here.
Yeah.
Just go back in a time machine, forget 4 days ago, one and a half days ago, and I tell you, Bryson can't find the planet with his driver, and it is his short game and ability to get up and down that won him the U.S. Yeah. Open. You never would have believed it. That is the growth of the player right there. Like, we can sit and talk all we want about his literal growing up, or, you know, him putting on a different public face, whatever way you see that. But that is the actual change. That's the reason he's a champion again.
Yeah, I think his putting, like, was truly unbelievable. And he only had one 3-putt all week. It was on the back nine on 18 when he missed a putt from about 4 or 5 feet there to before Rory did what he did. So, yeah, I think there's definitely to be said something about public facing versus what people are actually like. And, you know, I think public perception for a guy of his ilk matters a lot to him. But I think it's the same with a lot of athletes. Like, if we're going to talk about, you know, public perception versus what they're like, I think we could be sitting here having a conversation about 85% of athletes. So I think we can move on from that part of it.
Yeah, it's a pretty low ball number, to be perfectly honest there. Yeah, it is. It is. And you know what? I'm also going to, this is a good segue to Rory.
Yeah.
I'm going to commend you, or I don't know, maybe I shouldn't pre-commend you before you barbecue him in 2 seconds here. But I feel, how much were you, or I'm not going to commend you, how much were you irked by him not talking? Do you care? Your reaction to the reaction to that? And then we'll talk about the choke.
For me, it's just funny. Like, I really don't care. I mean, what's he going to say? I sucked. I gagged. He's always the type of guy that's always owned up to the media. That's like majorly the number one reason that everyone loves him so much, is because he gives so many good quotes and he does like the Church of Rory thing. We all know it. But for him, that is just a golf media's worst nightmare, what happened on Sunday.
Totally.
For him to, you know, have all the sort of things that you fear most about him come true, where he misses two putts that were short, you know, 3 feet. And what was the other one? Just over four. They were very short.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah.
And to have him miss those, gag away the U.S. Open for his first major in 10 years, and then to just peel out of there without saying anything to anyone, that's as tough a sell for like a traditional golf media guy as they're ever going to get. And he's probably the number one media favorite. So I thought it was just hilarious in terms of all the juxtaposition of like what he's usually like. And to me, it honestly just like not made me respect him more, but just that he's a real guy, that human. Like, he's like, are you kidding me? There is simply no way that I am going to face anyone. I am watching Bryson hit his putt. I'm getting in my Lincoln that was been given to me by Pinehurst, and I'm literally squealing my tires out of here. I am not dealing with this. And it's a bad look for the traditional media. I understand that it's not journalistic. Like, you're supposed to face some music, but it made me realize that he's a real guy. And this one, he's never going to get over. No, like he will never, ever get over. If he never wins another major, which I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll get one more. Maybe this one will haunt him till the day he dies. And he got out of there in a hurry. And you know what? Frankly, as much as I love to make fun of him for it, I get it. I absolutely get it. I would have ripped out of there too.
It's funny. I end up at the same place, but taking the exact opposite side of things. Where I land on it is, you're allowed one, man. How many times has this guy got blindsided by terrible news? And they're like, the whole media is waiting right here for you. Please go ahead and talk. You're allowed one. And I would imagine, I don't know this definitively, but something tells me he's going to be front and center, die in a hold court for 6 hours at the Travelers to make amends for his squealing out of there.
That's, I think, mainly that was the reason that it was so shocking, Gunnar, is that it just never happens. He always faces the music. He always does the interview. Maybe if Amanda Abalionis had been there, he would have done it. But anyway, that's a different story for a different day. I thought that he just really felt it. And I mean, thank you thank you, Rory, for an all-time group chat meme. Like that, the meme of him sitting there at the table looking the worst he's ever looked. Like I've sent that to like a couple different group chats, sent it to the Keegan's bachelor party group chat, being like me at the Scottsdale airport waiting for the flight, knowing I have a full work week of work coming up. Like it's a great meme.
You weren't allowed to send me any of them because I just stopped responding to your text when you sent me a picture of Bryson's face, just smiling ear to ear. I was like, I can't. And yeah, I'm going to engage with you too much on this tomorrow being today. So I just couldn't yesterday.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, for Rory fans, this is kind of perfect. You know, he's had some bad moments in majors. We talk about Cam Smith at St. Andrews. Talk about him at the Masters, hooking it in the woods over by the, I've never seen a ball that far left. All the different things that's happened with him, even last year at LACC where he's in the running and he doesn't finish it off. This is the worst one by far. Like this is an all time choke job and it goes down in history as one of the worst, and it just Rory fans have to live with it. And I don't know what else to say.
No, it sucks. Yeah, it sucks. It's like however much you enjoyed yesterday, I just like you want to talk about 180s. I'm 180 to that, having to watch Bryson be so happy and with Rory doing that. The other thing about it is the nature of the choke. And I know everyone out there saying, oh yeah, duh, he missed two short putts, but that's the thing. These guys, he wouldn't have liked it anymore if he snapped hooked his drive OB, but that's a bad golf swing that happens even to them. Like these guys will battle a two-way miss occasionally. Look at Bryson. I mean, again, like I'm not trying to throw shots at him. He could not find a fairway to save his life. It's a part of the game. You're supposed to be able to overcome that. If you can't make a 4-foot putt, there's nothing you can do. You can't give yourself birdie looks for 4 feet, hoping to make par every time. It's
you
no way to live.
Do that. That's like, if you're a professional golfer, that's going to win the US Open, you have to hit those putts. And listen, the one on 18 is a different animal to me than the first missed one. The one on 18 is a downhill slider three like that, like with the US Open on the line
stuff.
He's got to hit it. He's absolutely got to hit it. But the first one to me where I was like, that one shook me to my core, where I was like, oh my God, I was sitting on the couch. I actually stood up and went, oh my God, because we watch golf every weekend. We watch golf all the time. I barely was watching, you know, it's just like, oh, he's tapping it. Those always go in. They never miss those. And the people who do miss those, they've been dropped from coverage an hour ago. You don't see it.
Exactly.
So it's like in a moment like that, you never see, especially a guy of Rory McIlroy's ilk, miss that one. It was like a punch in the gut. You're like, oh my God, he missed it. So yeah, man, I'm feeling for the Rory fans out there, which there are many. The tough day. It's a dark day at the Church of Rory. It's closed today.
Big time. PGA Tour communications, the media office, they shut out shop, they lit a candle, doing what we can to get through this. The last time
what was the Justin Ray?
Oh, it was I thought it was 296 of 296 inside 4 feet. I'm pretty sure that was it.
496 for 496. Rory McIlroy was 496 for 496, putting inside 3 feet this season before that miss. Literally 500 for 500. He doesn't miss until
I haven't seen a player that has accomplished that much miss a putt that short since Ernie Els made that like cajillion at the Masters.
On the hole, it was on number one.
That's right. And then it was just, why am I here? How did he didn't just immediately pack up and go home? Better man than me. Yeah, the Rory thing, I think, is the most interesting thing is what comes out of this, right? Is he truly a broken man? Is this a scar tissue thing? And he's right back at it because, hey, like, I don't know, maybe you feel differently. Rory McIlroy is right there this weekend at the Travelers. I won't be remotely surprised, but you know what I will be doing? Watching every 4-footer with incredible intent late down the stretch.
You don't think there's any way he pulls a Robert McIntyre this week and just goes back to Ireland and gets the hell out of there, doesn't play? Like, I guess he's a huge star and he has to go. I get it. But like, if he were to just not show up, I would not be surprised.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. I honestly, if he would have faced the music on Sunday, I could see it happening. But because, you know, I say what you will, it's like that is so much a core of his brand. Yeah. Like, I really think the showing up and facing the music is like just as much a reason why he's there as opposed to the tournament in and of itself. But this now gives us, this was already the greatest subplot in the sport. Like, we have other ones if we want Bryson to win, or can Scotty's keep being this, but can Rory win a major was the most or second most interesting question heading into every major. This to me makes it infinitely more interesting now, is what does this do to him? Is he truly a choking dog?
Right, and I don't think interesting is the right word, but I
tortured. What do you want?
Listen, I've always said it. I even maybe said it earlier that he could win another one. If you don't get this one, like, Jesus, for him, even if he hits that putt on 18, the amount of stress that puts on Bryson, and the difference changes the hole and all that stuff, knowing that he needs a par to continue on. I not getting this one, I'm like, oh, maybe he's just not going to get another one. It's a thought that has to cross every Rory fan's mind. And the other, most heartbreaking part of this is, if he wins this one, the monkey that's off the back and the freeing nature of that, and being like, finally, I can go out there. I don't have to worry about this. I've got five. Five's the magic number, where that's like the really special number with the different echelon of guys. And that puts you in the all-timer. And he's still an all-timer, don't get me wrong, but five's a different number. But now it's like, I don't know. I really don't know. And that's the first time I've thought it, is like right now as we've been talking it out. And I kind of mentioned it earlier, but I really don't know. I don't know.
No, that's fair. Like, I haven't known all along, and it's not like it got easier after yesterday. So I think that's very fair. Pinehurst as a venue.
I love it.
Why not? So it is good. They have put it in there. I forget exactly how they worded it, but they've got their key stakeholder courses for USGA events. This is one of them. Pebble's another one. Oakmont's another one. Good. How dare you make me go this long without us being back at Pinehurst? Need to get back there immediately. The thing that makes golf beautiful is it is different every week, and I wouldn't want that every week. But the idea that that is not a once every 5 years U.S. Open venue is not so to me.
No, I agree. I really loved it. I think sort of, you know, to me, I love golf courses that aren't trying to trick you outside of the greens, where with that course, it's all laid out right in front of you there. There's wire grass on the left. There's wire grass and sand on the right. There's a fairway. You got to hit it in the fairway. And if you get it up near the green, you better be near the middle of the green, or else it's rolling off. Like, it's not, you know, there's not a bunch of water. There's not a hidden bunkers. There's not all this stuff. It's just flat land, sand, wiregrass, and weird ass greens. And it gave these guys fits. And I like where the finishing number was at. I think -6 is fine. Little higher than you want. Like, I miss the old days when it was like +1 or even, you know, even was winning. But I think just with the way these guys are these days, they're just too good. And to have a U.S. Open winner at -6, I think, is a really good number. And yeah, I loved watching it. It's aesthetically pleasing. They could not have done better advertising for their, I mean, I don't think Pinehurst necessarily needs the money, something tells me, but like the amount of boys trips that have been booked there over the last, I don't know, 48 hours, I'm sure they're booking into 2027 now after people watching there. You know, it's like, oh, we got to go to Pinehurst. We got to go to Pinehurst. A bunch of conversations got out of the group chat and onto the internet and booked. Yeah. So I loved it. I loved it. It was all in.
They might be booked to 2027 with how appealing that place looked. And if you're like abandoned dunes, you're just sitting there. Not that, again, not you want to talk about somebody that does not need to advertise, but they're going, oh, if that's all it takes, it's definitely out there. All right. Those are obviously Pinehurst, Rory, Bryson, the meat of the issue. A few other kind of quick hitters. You want to do Scheffler or our boy Ludwig first?
I'll go Scheffler. Obviously off week. And I think I know the question you're going to ask me, but it hasn't shaken my belief in him as him still having a generational run here. Like, you don't win every major. You know, it's just has he won this year on tour?
Five.
It's just, like, he's won five tournaments. He won literally last week. He had a bad week with the driver. He wasn't sharp. I think it happens. It doesn't happen for him. That's why it was so sort of stark, but yep. I'm really not worried about him, and I would probably be betting on him to win the Travelers this weekend coming up if he's playing it. Like, I really, this is a blip for me. Are you?
Yeah,
you going the other way?
No, I'm not quite going the other way. I'm just sticking with what I've said all along, is that these things don't last. He's got one more major this mm-hmm. year. I'm not sitting here telling you he's not going to win the Open Championship. Mm-hmm. I would not be betting him to. And then he's got a long time between then and a golf tournament that matters really for his legacy. Mm-hmm. He can go win the FedEx Cup, and he can go win playoff events, and hey, play great in the President's Cup. Not too well, though. But, yes. You know, all of those things are going to happen for him. But this is always what makes these runs impossible, is think about how long the layoff is going to be between the Open Championship and the Masters. 8-9 months we're looking at here. And it's impossible to keep it going for that long. So I'm not sitting here and telling you he won't be very short, if not the Masters betting favorite mm-hmm. next year. But I'm going to tell you what I've told you all along. These runs are impossible. And if he doesn't rip off two or three this year, I don't know that he's ripping off three more the rest of his career, which again would put him at five, which would be an insane number. But yeah. That's the thing I kind of keep coming back to. So I don't think this is the fall of Scheffler or we're stopped. I think he's going to have a great week. I think he's going to buck his head at the Open. I think he's going yeah. to be right there, if not winning the Tour Championship. But yeah, I think that this is just proof positive of kind of what I've been saying all along. Golf is hard.
So I'm just looking at the Travelers Championships odds here.
Yeah.
He is +350 to win that. Rory McIlroy is second at 7-1. And look at Xander Schauffele, +750. Starting to get that major champion. He's usually in the 12-13 range, +750. That's a pretty good one for him. I'm just trying to look ahead here as we quickly do this to the Open. And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it in time. So let's move past it. But
yeah, I wouldn't. Here's the thing. The guy who just won, he's going to be okay. He's going to be pretty short. In terms of odds.
Scottie Scheffler now is +450 to win the Open Championship. So he went up a little mm-hmm. bit. Rory is +800 again. And Bryson DeChambeau is the third favorite at +1100. Books are sick of losing on him. I think he was 18-1 heading into this week. Yeah. I think he was 20. I had him at the PGA Championship. I think he was 28-1. He wins this one. The books are sick of losing on him. I think a lot of people I bet you they took a bath on Bryson this week. Because I bet you a ton of people, like I said, have started to like him. I bet you they really were like, you know what? We'll take a little Bryson action. I bet you they took a bath on that. Those poor books. How will they ever recover?
Including from your boy, Brent Gunning. That's how big a hater I am. Wow. I felt that way while jumping on him. And it wasn't a happiness hedge. I bet on him after Friday. I looked at the board. I said,
what was the number you got on him?
425 plus nice. 425. So yeah, nice little bank for me to lose it at the Open Championship or the Travelers if I get greedy there. All right, quickly on Åberg, this is remarkable what he's doing. The fact that he is already, it's not the golf that he's playing that's remarkable. That's one thing. It's how quick he's got into the public consciousness. Non-golf people are already aware of this guy. I do think he has to have a win for it to kind of take hold, but I mean, this is as dream a start as you could ever have. I know he missed the cut at the PGA, mm-hmm. but a top five at the Masters. And you know, I know it kind of the wheels fell off for him a little bit at the end there, but a top 25 at the US Open. It's just what a remarkable start to his career.
I thought that, you know, he looked awesome. And, you know, this is kind of that veteran savvy where he made two triples on the weekend, right?
Yep.
And that's basically the difference. You par those holes, he's right in contention. So
totally.
And what do they always talk about on the broadcast? The dreaded double bogey. You can live with bogeys at the US Open. When you start getting to the double range, that's when it kills you. So I was just, I thought that he was a little bit in ahead of time. Obviously he's young. It's his first major tour that he's doing here. But yeah, I just love the cut of his jib. I don't know how he ever hits a bad golf shot with a swing. He's a tall, handsome man. I'm a huge fan of Åberg, so I'm happy for him. But yeah, when he goes back to the US Open next year, probably not going to make two triples, and you're probably going to be right back in contention. But like the the triple on Sunday was just such a bad, like he compounds an error, he hooks it out of bounds mm-hmm. out of the wire grass. It's, you know, a veteran guy probably just gets that out in the fairway and thinks like, hey, I can live with a bogey here. I can live with a bogey instead of trying to compound an error and making one. So yeah, I love the guy, and it's nice to have like the next one kind of feel like he's the next star that's coming up. So big fan.
It It is. I remember watching him at the, not this year's, but last year's RBC Canadian Open, and talking to some of the ShotLink guys and them just saying, yeah, he's the only one hitting iron from here, and he's getting there. And it's remarkable we like him so much when for his first tour win, he beat Mackenzie Hughes by four shots. So we must really like him if he's going to take max lunch money. And we're still we're still pulling for him. Quick little note on the Canadians there. Hadwin getting leapfrogged by Connors, so it's Connors and Taylor heading to Paris. I don't have much to say on it. Just good luck, gentlemen, and don't hold Brooke back, okay? Go let Brooke be Brooke, and good luck to those guys.
To be honest, like, I love Corey Connors, but I would want the better putter. If I had to choose, it would have been Hadwin and Nick, or even Taylor. I love the way he hammers the ball, Taylor Pendrith. I'm not sure what the course is like that they're playing there, what it's going to look like, but I'm sure length works, and I like the way Pendrith hammers it. But going on to Connor, he's a beautiful ball striker, probably the best ball striker, maybe one of the best ball strikers in the world, so you want to have that, but it's going to come down to some clutch putts. But let's go, boys. Go over there, make us proud, see what happens, and you never know. I mean, an Olympic medal for our men, or even our women, get Brooke going there.
Oh.
An Olympic medal would be one of the most thrilling things for golf fans in Canada, so let's go. Let's go. That's all I got to say. Just go play well, men and women. Go play well.
Yeah, let's go Canada. Oh,
play
wait,
well.
No, we're not supposed. No, it's bad to chant for our nation. At least when the Americans do it, I don't like it. But we can do it all day long. Okay, we got to talk about TPC, but my favorite question to ask you after every golf major, probably should have done this earlier, bad hosting by me.
It's okay.
Bryson DeChambeau, he has two majors. When he is an old, decrepit man with the ball speed of 190 miles an hour and he's 90 years old, how many majors does he have when it's all said and done?
Three.
That feels a very correct number to me.
I think he'll get one more. I think it'll be either the PGA Championship or the. I think it'll either be the PGA Championship or the U.S. Open again. If I had to guess, I don't think Masters.
I think one day. I think he does, and it's going to be so sad for me when I have to eat it. And he just like has it. He's going to be 57 years old and have it all figured out. The angles finally.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it. But I think he gets one more major before the end for him. I think he goes gets it somewhere, and you know it's going to be like one of those long bomber courses again, and he gets it. But that would be my submission.
I don't know when they're back at Bethpage Black, but it seems like he'd do pretty well there. All right. I'm not going to compare it to Bethpage Black, but God, TPC Toronto looking mean and looking nasty.
Yeah, that was fun. When was that? That was a couple weeks ago now. A
couple of weeks ago. It was right off the back of our beloved National Open, the RBC Canadian Open. Got a chance to look at the host site for next year's, the revamped North Course. Big shout out to our boy Brian Decker and everybody up at TPC Toronto for all the work they've done there. I mean, you and I have played there, you know, not like we're alone in this. A lot of people have played there for a lot of time, but it's been so cool to kind of see the evolution of that place. The golf has always been amazing, but they've got a lot else going on there now.
Yeah, I mean, just driving up, you know, not to say that you were always kind of underwhelmed by what you were looking at when you got up there, but the clubhouse was very modest. It wasn't like it was a huge, like it was all about the golf. When you got there, you weren't thinking about, wow, this clubhouse is this or that. Like, it's just, you pulled up there and you're like, I'm about to play world-class golf at one of these 318s. And I pulled up this past time. I was like, oh my God, like it's truly unbelievable how nice it is with this new clubhouse that they've built and the new restaurant and the new pro shop and that view overlooking 18. I was blown away by it. And to actually go to the course and play the course, the North, which I would say if you're going there to play, we used to be the easiest of the 318s. Like it was always the one where I thought if I'm going out there and I'm going to play, I'm playing the North, I'm going to have a chance to score well. Boy, it was not easy. I'm not enough of a smart golf guy to understand what the changes they made are. And like all the spots that they really did it well. But they just put stuff in the right spots that were just really making you sweat. And I was blown away by it. And I'll be super interested to see how the pros take it on, because there's going to be some chances to score, but a few of those holes are long, dude. And just like the green where they put them in the Sunday pin placements, I think, for us when we were out there, they were really hard. Ben Ennis was whining about how fast the greens were the entire time. So it was great. I had a blast. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how the pros take it on.
Yeah. I just, anytime you see a place that it was interesting for it to feel so familiar but so different.
Bang on.
We did it was really nice to have people be able to say, okay, remember this fairway used to be here, this used to be two tiered, or this green used to slope in from this direction. And yeah, they did a good job of revamping it without completely changing what it was. It was the one of the three that didn't really seem to have an identity. You know, we had Heathlands, which was very linksy, the Hoot. I don't know what else to say other than it's the Hoot. It's truly a 101.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this is now your true championship test golf course. Mm. I would like to forewarn everyone, though, I will be insufferable come this week next year.
Because I know why.
Your man stepped up and birdied what will be the rink hole. I think it's 14.
Yeah.
So just every time, especially if we get that front pin, I go, what's so hard? What's so hard? Smooth little nine, make an uphill putt. What is so hard about it, folks? I'm going
to
be
you beat me to it. You beat me to it. I was going to give you the shout out for the birdie. I almost eagled 18, but almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Right.
So it was a close putt. Got to tap her in for a birdie on the 18th there. But yeah, it was a wonderful birdie for you on the rink hole. Yeah, and I can't say enough good things about it. And the great thing about it, oftentimes, that you know these big championships, the RBC Canadian Opens, are at private courses, and a lot of people can't get a chance to play them. You can go up there, you can pay your money, and you can go and play the course that the boys are going to play come next spring. So enjoy yourself, do that. I love it there, and I can't say enough good things. I was blown away by it. Loved it.
Yeah, and no, I'm happy you mentioned the public part of it at all. I never want to live in a world where we don't go to the best courses our nation has. We absolutely should go to Hamilton. We absolutely should go to St. George's.
Yeah.
If only there was a way to host this thing at Cabot. All of that is what I love. We should put our best on display. But this is one of the best, and the fact that it can be accessible by anybody, it's like, yeah, you got to get off your wallet to play it. Welcome to golf, bud.
Yeah.
So, but very much so. And if you go, just save yourself some time, because I got caught looking at, there's Nick Taylor's shirt from the putt,
and
there's Grant Dillette's Olympic jacket.
Yeah,
the Hall of Fame they have there is awesome. So I know it feels like an infomercial for TPC, but guess what? Go do it. It was awesome. And it's going to be an awesome host site next year. I think that's going to be another thing, is if it becomes a kind of quasi-regular host. You got to see how the first one goes, but certainly seems like they're tooling up for future things there. McKee, I'd just like to congratulate you. You did an awesome job reverse jinxing Rory in our group text yesterday.
Did I ever?
No. You say you weren't doing it, but you did, and your mission accomplished.
Oh, no, I did it.
Okay, good. As long as you now can admit it. You wouldn't in the moment. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Bryson. And
thank you.
The church to Rory. We will rise again. Maybe someday. All right. It's been the Golf Show with the Golf Guys. Break out against Sam McKee.